Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, your community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. The 2012 presidential campaign is heating up with both sides of the political spectrum trading vicious jabs. The Obama campaign launched an absolutely devastating political ad that hit his rival, Mitt Romney, extremely hard. We'll play the audio from that ad. Calls for Mitt Romney to release at least 12 years of his tax returns has reached a fever pitch, with Republicans leading the clarion call. The GOP want the bleeding to stop, but Mitt Romney is doing very little to stop the bleeding. And of course, speculation is emerging that the GOP presidential candidate may be hiding something. So we're going to get into that and cover all of those issues here on Community Voices with Ron Holland. This week, the Obama campaign released a blistering ad.
He certainly exposed Mitt Romney for some of his hypocrisy, while Romney is touting his experience as a businessman with the alleged acumen to turn our economy around. The Obama ad strikes at the heart of Romney's claim by pointing out that his company, Bain, outsourced jobs overseas, specifically to China, with the added bonus of Romney's Swiss accounts and offshore investments. Take a listen.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Oh, beautiful, four spacious skies, four amber waves of grain, four purple mountains, majesty above the fruit and plain.
Wow. That was blistering. It is perhaps one of the most effective political ads that I've seen in many, many years. But it strikes as something profoundly fundamental that I think so many people are missing. And that is, the American worker is being short-shrifted by corporate entities. Because what we've seen, particularly as we are trying to deal with this sputtering economy, is that corporations are putting profit above patriotism and above the sacred honor and that sacred duty of the American family. And I think most people are seeing this. They are experiencing it. And of course, the ad really strikes at the heart of what is happening with regard to outsourcing in this country. And it is amazing. And one of the reasons why the ad is so profoundly impactful is because many, many Americans, particularly in the Midwest, they have experienced manufacturing jobs being shut down and shipped overseas. That is our reality. And companies like Bain, with Mitt Romney at the helm, those are the companies that are really having a major impact on the lives of the American people. Now, it may be legal to ship jobs overseas to maximize profits and, of course, to avoid the tax rates set by our government. But the question is, at whose expense does outsourcing help or hurt? That's the question that's on the table. When a blue-collar worker in a manufacturing plant is required to forfeit the health and well-being of his family so that the company that he or she has worked for over 20 years, so that company can maximize profits by paying a worker in China substantially lower wages, there is something fundamentally un-American about that relationship. Because in my mind, and of course, I know that many of you feel the same way, it undermines the American worker. It undermines the American family. And as the nation continues to compete around the world strategically, it undermines our nation's economy. If we are going to give tax incentives to companies, the standard ought to be that those incentives are given to companies that invest in America. Those incentives ought to be given to companies that hire in America. Those companies that make a concerted effort to keep jobs in this country. Those are the companies that ought to be given those incentives, because they ensure that the American worker has a job, has a living wage, has dignity in creating the products with Made in America proudly stamped on the products that we make. So we should be giving incentives to those companies. Now, Mitt Romney stands contrary to that patriotic notion, because his motivation has been to maximize profits only for his investors and at the expense of the American worker. That's why he invested in companies that shipped jobs overseas, because of maximizing profits. That's why folks like Mitt Romney will vault his money in accounts overseas. That's why his investment portfolio is mired in offshore investment accounts and tax havens, because there is an effort to make as much money as possible, to shield that money, shield themselves from the tax burdens and tax liabilities of our country. And in the process, they are hurting the American people. So what we've seen from Mitt Romney and others, they have employed an effort to avoid the fundamental American duty, and that is to utilize our resources and talents for the unrivaled success of our country by ensuring that our workforce is unrivaled and all of our dollars are used for the success of our country. Now, folks, this is a fight for the hearts in minds of the poor and the middle class. This is a significant fight. This fight is for the independent voter who want transparency and openness, not only in our electoral politics, but the policies advanced by our political leaders. And so when you have individuals like Mitt Romney who will utilize every resource available, and of course, I admit, legal, when you have individuals who are willing to do that, what kind of leadership will he provide if he were to be elected to the White House? I think that we have to strongly pay close attention to these issues. I strongly urge you to do that, because in the debate over taxes, for example, President Obama has called for the expiration of the Bush era tax cuts, with exception, of course, to the middle class. Now, he has said that the tax rate should go back to the 39% rate under Bill Clinton. Now, I want to be clear. The Bush era tax cuts are set to expire, which means that the measure, which was implemented in 2000, has run its course. Let me repeat, it was set to expire. It has run its course. It was not signed into law to be a permanent tax cut. It has an expiration date. And that expiration date is forthcoming. So the president has said that the rates will go up on anyone making over $250,000 a year. Now, you'll hear Republicans complaining that this effort will hurt small businesses. And of course, we all should be concerned. But I want to address this issue by suggesting that what we've seen and heard from the Republicans is a bunch of bunk. First of all, President Obama has given 17 tax cuts since taking office, particularly to small businesses. Second, 97% of small businesses will not be impacted by the measure. Now, I read a very insightful article that really addresses this issue head on, and it comes from a gentleman named Matthew Iglesias of Slate Magazine. He writes, "The way the U.S. income brackets work is that taxes are levied on marginal income. In other words, the rate applied to income earned over the $250,000 threshold is irrelevant to the first $250,000 worth of taxable income. So let me be clear. It is irrelevant. What you're going to be taxed in terms of the 35% tax rate is irrelevant up to the first $250,000 worth of taxable income. If you have $250,010 of taxable earnings, then only that last $10 is taxed at the higher rate, which, of course, in this instance, will be 39%. In all cases, he writes, higher pre-tax earnings lead to higher after-tax income. So again, if you are earning $250,000 a year, the new rate will not be applied to you. You will be taxed under the 35% rate. Anything above the $250,000, in this instance, $10 over that $250,000, you will be taxed at the 39% rate. So in other words, the $10 would be taxed at 39%. So it's a specious argument by the Republican Party. This is clarity. And you won't hear any Republican make these distinctions. He goes on to write, the issue here is that some, but not all, small firms are organized as what are called pass-through entities for tax purposes. The exception is what's known as a C corporation, typically a larger firm. A C corporation files a tax return as a freestanding entity and pays corporate income tax on its profits. If after-tax profits are distributed to shareholders as dividends or share buybacks, then the individuals who profit are taxed on their earnings according to the tax schedule for dividends or capital gains. As pass-through entity, by contrast, pays no taxes. Instead, its profits are distributed to its owners, typically a small group of people, and they pay income, but not payroll taxes on the proceeds. These are very important points that, again, distinctions are not being made when the punditry and the talking heads are spouting off at the mouth on television. And one point that I do want to emphasize that Iglesias brilliantly addresses, and that is the notion that taxes will be levied against income for expenses. It's false. It's specious. This is a tactic used by Republicans to further muddy and confuse the debate. Iglesias writes, there's no federal income tax levied on income that's used to pay business expenses. Absolutely nothing about a tax increase would turn a previously profitable investment, new hire, or expansion into an unprofitable one. Absolutely astounding. And let's be clear about what it means to let the Bush-era tax cuts expire. First, it's all about the language. The Republicans will have you believe that it's a tax hike. No. These were tax cuts that had an expiration date. What will happen is these cuts, which means it was at a higher rate before the implementation of the temporary law, will go back to the original rate of 39%. And what happened when those rates were at 39% for the top 2% of wealthy Americans? Under Bill Clinton, that 39% rate yielded 23 million American jobs were created. That's 23 million jobs. And more millionaires were created in that time period than we've seen in decades. Additionally, under that 39% rate, there was a surplus. Now, what happened when George Bush cut the tax rate from 39% to 35%? We lost 4 million jobs. We had the worst recession in decades. And if you include the fighting two wars on a credit card, that really stymied our economy's growth. And the Clinton era surplus turned into a Bush era deficit. So the Republicans are engaging in a dishonest and disingenuous debate. They are relying on selective information and confusing rhetoric to lull low information voters. Well, not here. And let's be fair. The Republicans have a legitimate argument about deficits, about overspending, about being under the huge weight of a bloated government. And I've said many, many times that bloated governments are not healthy. But there is a way to strike a balance between the assistance and help of the government and the private sector. There needs to be a bipartisan effort to reduce our debts and rein in our spending. But what we've seen over the course of 3.5 years is nothing but rancor hurled at our president, vitriol. And there is, of course, as many of you know, a concerted effort to distort the truth and disrupt any attempt by President Obama to move our country forward. The Republicans have employed a cynical strategy to prevent President Obama from having success in the White House. And we've seen it. And unfortunately for them, President Obama did not let the GOP and their fringe elements stymie his efforts. And although President Obama had to make some concessions, although he bent over backwards, although he made every attempt to be bipartisan, his hands were slapped back in many instances in vicious ways. I want you to understand this as you're listening. When President Obama took office, we were losing upward of 750,000 jobs for the first 6 months of his presidency. When the Obama administration launched his economic plan for the country, we, which included over a $9 billion surplus, actually upward of a $900 billion stimulus bill, we started to see small growth over the preceding months. Now, sure, the measures President Obama implemented waxed and waned. Sure, there were months of disappointments, but we didn't head over the cliff. Our economy, in many ways, although it's sputtering, our economy was saved. The worst recession in decades in our lifetime. It was saved. We didn't go over the cliff. And for the last 42 months, we've seen 4 million private sector jobs created. And let me remind you, that is half of what was lost at the start of the recession. There would be more jobs, at least close to 2 million more Americans working if the Republicans were not so ideologically driven. Republican governors all across the country slashed thousands of public sector jobs, and they are unwilling to restore those jobs because of their hatred of government and their hatred of President Obama. And you can hear it in their complaints. Why are public sector employees paid more than private sector employees? Duh, because the private sector are profit driven, thereby paying low wages and maximizing their profits. So I want to reiterate, if there were more public sector jobs, it would translate into nearly 2 million private sector jobs added because they work hand in hand. They work in tandem. Additionally, the national unemployment rate would be under 7%. Every economic index supports that assertion. And I want to close by suggesting this. Mitt Romney is a dishonest man. As we continue to watch what is going on in for the fight for the White House, I want to put that on the table. He's a dishonest man. Not only is he hiding what is in his taxes, not only has he flip-flopped on every conceivable issue, not only has he stretched the truth about his time at Bain Capital, he intentionally distorts the president's record and his words. In a recent speech, President Obama rightly pointed out that business owners, with the help of government and taxpayer dollars, achieved success. Here's Mitt Romney's intentional distortion.
He said this: if you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. To say something like that is not just foolishness, it's insulting to every entrepreneur, every innovator in America, and it's wrong.
Here's what the president said.
And you know, there are a lot of wealthy, successful Americans who agree with me because they want to give something back. They know they didn't. If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. The internet didn't get invented on its own. Government research created the internet so then all the companies could make money off the internet. The point is that when we succeed, we succeed because of our individual initiative, but also because we do things together. There's some things, just like fighting fires, we don't do on our own. I mean, imagine if everybody had their own fire service. That'd be a hard way to organize fighting fires. So we say to ourselves, ever since the founding of this country, you know what, there's some things we do better together. That's how we funded the GI Bill. That's how we created the middle class. That's how we built the Golden Gate Bridge or the Hoover Dam. That's how we invented the internet. That's how we sent a man to the moon. We rise or fall together as one nation and as one people. And that's the reason I'm running for president, because I still believe in that idea. You're not on your own. We're in this together.
Absolutely incredible. If you're a small business located on Main Street, USA, here's how government and taxpayer dollars help you achieve success. The paved roads, bridges, highways, and traffic lights that allow your customers to safely arrive to your business. That's how government helps. The safety standards that give consumers confidence that your products are safe to consume or purchase. That's how government helped. The regulations that allow for the safe transport and inspection of the products you offer to your customers. That's how government helped. The police protection, trash collection, and sewer and water service that local governments provide to ensure there are reasonable accommodation and safety for all of your customers. That's how government helped. You did not achieve success on your own. Yes, you've worked hard, and you ought to be applauded and congratulated. Every day you open the door to your business, you are working with and in tandem with the government and taxpayers. That's how you achieve success. Yes, you stayed up late at night. Yes, you've put in a 24-hour or 18-hour workday. All of that is completely understandable and you ought to be congratulated. But there was some assistance. We work in tandem and hand in hand with the entities that allowed you to build your business. And we ought not ever forget that. So as we watch the unfolding machinations of our political process, let us be mindful that the interplay and dynamics of our process require robust debate and a rigorous defense of our positions. But we ought not tolerate distortions and half-truths. And I'll end the show by saying this. The American people deserve to see Mitt Romney's tax returns. We deserve to be able to examine his offshore accounts and his tax havens. If he wants to be president of the United States, we have a right to examine his life and potential leadership, especially if he's going to use his business experience as a barometer to measure his leadership capabilities. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9. We'll be back in a moment. Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. I implore you to pay close attention to the issues that each of our presidential candidates address. This is a critical election. The contrast between President Obama and Mitt Romney are stark. There is a huge gulf between both of their ideological perspectives. However, your vote will determine which perspective will lead our great country for the next 4 years. And it is critical, absolutely critical, that you pay close attention to the issues. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also, I would like to invite you to visit my blog for some very insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.